of Christ. We are the church of Christ in this earth. If you one day you believed in your heart and confessed Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are children of God. So you belong to Him and you are part of the church of Christ. So it's very important. And then I was meditating about this. He's talking a lot about revival. He's encouraging us to seek Him privately. I'm talking about this for a long time. So greater expectation. Good enough is not enough anymore. So we want more. He's pushing me. I want you to do more. And to do more, we need to be in His presence. That's why this morning was great, and it's going to be greater and greater every week. But not only on Sunday morning or Sunday evening, but every day. And this is what He spoke to me. He says, I don't want you to be in my presence because you have to, but because you want to be in my presence. And I thank you, Holy Spirit. He was using Bryce to say the same word. I want to enjoy to be in His presence. And this is the way He's bringing His church closer to Him, to hear Him. Because when somebody's talking on the back of this church, I don't really understand. It's too far away. But if Ali's talking with me, I can hear. So He wants us closer to Him. We are singing that song. It's beautiful. Quiet your soul. Quiet your mind. Your thoughts. To be able to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. It's simple. But we need to practice that. Because we grow up, most of us, without knowing that. Even when we became Christians, sometimes most of us didn't really learn about that. But now He's calling us back to His arms. Come close. Like Mary and Martha, you know, she was busy and doing great things. Can you imagine if Jesus comes? I want to serve Him. I want the best meal for Him. I want to offer Him coffee. I want to do things for Him to please Him with that. But, you know, Mary was there just listening to Him. So it's good. If you serve Jesus, it's good. Like the story says, it's good. But gets us so distracted. And when He wants to say something, when He wants to teach us something, we are so distracted trying to serve Him, preparing coffee and this and that and that and that. And we don't realize that He wants to speak with us and talk to us and teach us. Amen. And this is what I believe. I've heard, before I start really delivering what I have in my heart, two things I've heard the past maybe 2 weeks called my attention. And I want to be, maybe as a pastor, I should be more or clear or speak clear what I believe. Because sometimes people don't really catch it. And one thing is, I don't know if that expression it's useful in English. But it is in Portuguese, and we try to translate. Sometimes it doesn't work because it says you're a light pastor. Light past doesn't mean I'm losing weight and I'm light now. It's not about my body. Light, when you say that, because we don't have the word in Brazil, you say you use light as, no, easy. Easy. You're okay. Are you making mistakes? Okay, no problem. God loves you. Nah, nah, nah. So that's a light pastor for us. I don't know here. Okay, you were speaking, no, words that not edifying the Lord, or words of death instead of life. And as a pastor, I say, okay, no problem. You're still learning. You were a baby. No, let me say something. I'm not like that. I'm not in agreement if we're doing something that's not according to the Word of God. The person was talking about, I'm not that too severe. Like, you know, I'll punish you. Like old pastors. No, you're, that's the meaning. Yeah. You're going to hell. No, get out of my church. No, you know, I told you twice, get out of my church. No, I'm not like that. But I don't accept things like, you know, speaking or lying or speaking death or this or that. Or when it's not in accordance with the word, I don't agree. I teach you. I teach you again. And I love to do that in love. But I'll never be in agreement if you are not walking according to the word of God. Okay? So when the lady said, like she was meaning that, so I'm not just severe. Like, but she knows that I don't accept things that's not according to the word. I'm still learning. And I want to see you learning and growing and walking like Jesus Christ called us to walk. Like I said, we want to be like him, to speak like him, to act like him, to enjoy life like him, because he was enjoying his time. He was suffering. He was suffering because of the religious, because of the world, but he was enjoying what he was doing because he was following the Lord. And this is what we are doing here. Okay? If you were expecting me to say things like rude things for you and no, I will say what the word says in love. Okay? This is my way. One thing. One thing. And the other thing is, it's funny because this word came before. I was kind of studying this word and reading the Bible, and I caught my attention and I thought, Lord, you want me to preach this? And I talked a little bit with the leaders, but one thing is, that's why I want to be really clear in my position. It's because sometimes you don't need to ask me anything. If somebody mentioned me or tell something about me, you should know. My pastor? No. What I'm saying is this. If Patricia said, somebody comes to me and said, Patricia's lying to everyone. I can tell you, I know her for 30 years. And I'll tell you, so no, it's not the same Patricia we are talking about. Because I know her. I know her. And I believe that people need to know us. And if something is getting wrong in the world, and I had an example after reading the scripture, and most of you know about the churches, Christian churches signing a paper against what the government is doing in schools and teaching the equal gender or the third one, or teaching our kids that with 12 years old they can pick the gender they want if they want to change, and then okay, so yes, the people, churches are signed. I didn't sign that. I didn't go to that meeting. But you had to know something, that I'm in agreement with what the word of God says. Okay? Don't worry about it. Don't worry about your pastor in agreement with what the world is doing. I'm in agreement with the word of God. Okay? So the scripture was mentioned. You don't have to open, but in Matthew 11, when John Baptist was asking his disciples to say, go there and see if this guy, Jesus Christ, is the Messiah. Is he the Messiah? Ask him. And they went there and asked Jesus Christ, are you the Messiah? Are you the one who's supposed to come? And I loved his answer. He said, go back and report to John what you hear and see. Jesus Christ was the kind of defending himself, like, this is, and trying to explain and trying to, you need to understand. He didn't explain anything. He said, just tell him what you hear and what you see. And why call my attention? Because as Christians, not as a pastor only. That's why I say we need to stand in firm in our position. When people talk about it, they know what we think, what we believe. It's very important. Don't be ashamed to preach the gospel, because this is what you believe, that it's salvation for people. Don't be ashamed to raise your hand and glorify the Lord and come to church. Sometimes people get even shy. So I don't want to praise and worship the Lord because I'm shy. No, just don't worry. Of course, we are different, but go outside. If you have a chance to pray for someone and say, no, I don't know, I don't believe. So, but you have a chance to pray, pray. Don't be ashamed. Do it. They need to know who we are. The world needs to know who we are. The religious needs to know who we are. But first of all, we need to know who we are in Christ Jesus. We need to know. This is what we are. This is what we believe. So Jesus said, he wasn't explaining and tried to have reason I hope you understand. I hope you agree with me. I hope you believe. No, just see what I'm saying, what I'm doing and what I'm saying, what I'm teaching. The blind can see. The deaf can hear. I'm preaching the gospel to the poor. Just look at me and see my life. Then John will know who I am. And that's very important. We are growing together, church. We are growing together. And this is the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit, okay? It's the Holy Spirit. Because the end times, people will come against the Church of Christ. And I believe because the Church of Christ will stand firm in their convictions, in their faith. That's why. Because now, when I start really preaching the message this morning, Peter was talking about that. People, they don't care. They don't see what's happening right now. They don't have Jesus. They're religious. They are so focused in traditions and things like that. So I don't believe, I believe, I don't believe. If you believe, I don't believe. They're so concerning about things like that. They don't see what's going on. And Peter was reminding us. So the last maybe 3 months, all my messages was about reminding the church about something. If you go back and see, it's always reminding things. And I was reading 2 Peter, and I said, "Woo, that's what he did. The whole letter is about that, reminding the church. To the church, stand firm in the position God put us. Doesn't matter what happened outside. Doesn't matter what's happening in the government of Canada. Doesn't matter who is winning the election in Brazil. Whatever is going to happen in Iran, whatever. We stand firm. That's why they lost their heads. When we are studying the church history, we see people say, I will burn you alive. And say, okay, but before I die, I will keep proclaiming the name of Jesus Christ. See, that's the position. And today, he's bringing us to that position. That position. Okay, don't pray. Don't preach the word. Don't preach the word. No, that's okay. No, but the Holy Spirit is leading me to preach the word. I'll put in jail. I cannot stop because I'll follow his. Of course, I'm not going in the place that the law doesn't. But if the Holy Spirit brings me there, I don't know. I know. We have to obey the word. Amen. Just the introduction. Long one. We need to know who we are. This is what he's telling us. And why we are praying for a revival? It's a good question. Why? Why, Bryce already told. Why? Why you told everybody? But you know, no, let me just bring some definition of the word revival. Not from church, religion. I took from the dictionary. I like to do that. I always like to do that. An improvement in the condition, strength, vigor. Improvement. Then another one is a restoration to life. Another one is an instance of something becoming popular, active, or important again. Revival. And the religious one is a reawakening of religious fervor. And this makes sense. When you talk about revival, we are talking about like bring back the awakening of the Church of Christ to be more fervent. How many years, maybe, how many years you were visiting churches and visiting different denominations or listening, and you've never seen someone coming here and praying in spirit or singing in spirit or prophecies, or because we are forgetting things like that. But now the revival will bring that back. It's bringing that back, the favor. How many years we are praying quietly because, no, Lord, I don't deserve, Lord. I'm just a sinner. I don't deserve self-pity. Sometimes we are like, how many years? Because we learn like that. Now we are learning, and the revival will bring that confidence again, that fire again, and say, no, Lord, I'm not a sinner anymore. I'm the righteousness of God. I have all I need. I have your Spirit inside of me. So, yeah, we have that power inside of us. We are praying. Say, Lord, I'm not asking to be healed. I'm commanding. I'm healed. I'm declaring. I already received. No, we know what to do. Revival. It's for us to preach the Word of God and see improvement and see things happening. Like important things happening again. Which is signs, wonders, and miracles. You know, this is what the Spirit is telling me. Last week I had a chance to pray for someone. And was believing for a replacement of his bone. And after praying, it was a great opportunity. I saw the guy walking like this, using the walker to get some coffee. And inside of me, I said, Lord, I want more than that. You know what I'm talking about, Purdy. I did, in obedience. We prayed. But I want to see something else. I want to see something more. I want to see the Word saying that says that when you preach the gospel, the signs will follow it. Will follow the Word. This is what I want. This is what the Lord wants. That's why He's moving me and moving in you too. That's why I always say this is the kind of church we are declaring, praying, and expecting for the great move of the Spirit. Some church, they want to just sit there and then that's it, fellowship. Okay, some church, they don't believe in the Holy Spirit. Okay, so let God, let's pray for them. But in this church, we'll keep believing. We'll keep seeking the Lord, keep seeking Him because we want to see more. I want to pray, lay my hands, and see the guy jump in and say, woo, I don't feel anymore the pain and whatever. And then just go and jump in and knock on the door. So, hey, come to see what happened. This is what I'm expecting. Yes. And I will see. Because when we are faithful in the little, the Lord will put us in a higher position, in that place. I believe that, church. Keep believing. Keep get encouraged. This is revival. Be alive again. The church needs to be alive again. I grew up in a church that wasn't alive. Why? Because the Holy Spirit. They didn't believe in the Holy Spirit. No way to be alive. Because He's the life of God in us. In us. He's working in this earth right now. In us and through us. Amen. Ooh, hallelujah. Can you open your Bible in 2 Peter chapter 3? Thank you, Lord. So just to remind you, we have meeting tonight. You are very welcome to come and join us. Okay? We will keep seeking the Lord. The last Friday of October, we're going to have our meeting in Spanish here in this church. You are very welcome. If you speak Spanish, if you don't speak Spanish, you're very welcome. Amen. If you know someone, you know, we are not, it's not a, oh, the Word of Life Church has a Spanish church coming here. No, no. It's a Word of Life Church having a Spanish meeting, okay? So if you know someone, that you can invite that person. Oh, they don't speak good English, you know, they speak Spanish or even Portuguese. Okay, come. Go there. Because the word we preach in the morning, we preach in the evening, we preach in Spanish, we preach in Farsi, we'll preach in French, we'll preach in whatever is the language. We just want to reach out. We just want to reach out to people who need to know the word. 2 Peter chapter 3 says, dear friends, this is now my second letter to you. I have written both of them as reminders to stimulate you to wholesome thinking. I want you to recall the words spoken in the past by the holy prophets and the command given by our Lord and Savior through your apostles. So Peter is writing a letter. He says, this is the second letter. Both letters were reminders. It's very important for us. And he's reminding us something. He's going to remind us something very important this morning. And he's telling us to stir up your pure mind. This is what he means. To wholesome thinking. Stir up your pure minds. The Lord wants to stir us up. He wants. And he's going to do it. He's going to do it. Through the worship, through the prayer, through the word, through his touch. Because sometimes we are praising and worshiping the Lord together. We are singing songs in spirit. I'm reading the scripture. It's the best preacher ever. The preaching. Not the best preacher. Best preaching. When you read the scripture, because we are reading the word of God. It's really good. Really good. But if you are not paying attention or you're not having an open heart to receive, open ears to hear, so then I also believe the Holy Spirit can come and shake you, like touch your heart. I've heard so many times, so many testimonies that people said, I don't believe. I don't believe. I don't believe. A good friend of mine, I don't know many prophets in this dispensation. He's a prophet in the fivefold ministry. And he was set before Pastor Bud. And somebody was preaching and doing like something like this. Something weird. And I don't believe. I don't believe. It's not the Holy Spirit. I don't believe. I don't believe. And Pastor Bud was saying, shut up. Receive. He just wanted to show himself spiritually. He's spiritual or something. I don't believe. And the guy was preaching. The guy was preaching. He wasn't receiving anything because he was just complaining. He was just like judging the preacher. And in the middle of the service, that preacher came. From up the seat, just came and touched him. And he's bigger than me. He just flow like through seats back. And was there. And the Holy Spirit was dealing with him. He tells everybody. He tells that testimony. You know it, ain't you? He tells everybody. He told me. Said, now I don't say anything. I don't judge anybody. But sometimes we are not open to receive. But the Holy Spirit, when He wants to change us, when He wants to open our ears and mind and heart, He's going to do it. Okay? So now Peter is saying, I'm reminding you. So it's a reminding from the Lord. So he said, he's talking about prophecies from the past. Verse 3 says, above all, you must understand that in the last days, scoffers will come, scoffing and following their own evil desires. They will say, where is this coming? He promised. Ever since our ancestors died, everything goes on as it has since the beginning of creation. Let me stop here. So he's reminding the church of Christ. He's saying what the prophets said, what the apostles and the disciples was teaching. What, you know, it's going to happen. But there are people that they don't believe, and they are coming and saying against that. They don't believe. What they say, it's simple. So you think, why we are praying for revival? Why we are praying for people's salvation? Why Jesus Christ, will take so long for Him to come back? Is Him coming back? Are you sure? Are you sure Jesus is coming back, church? It's taking too long. since the prophets before him, then after the disciples, apostles, and Paul and everyone, Jesus didn't come. Is he coming? I don't know. I'm not sure. This is what they want us to think. This is what the world is saying. This is the same thing happened. And we have in the Bible a story about Noah. And talks about that. So, you know, they were getting married, having parties, enjoying life the way they think is joy, like drinking and having using drugs, choosing their gender, or doing whatever they want to do, marrying man and man, woman and woman. They were celebrating. Woohoo, life is easy, it's good. Jesus coming? Are you crazy? Go, build your ark. They probably call him stupid. So just go, lose your time. You are losing your time. You are losing your time. This is my version. Wasting. Not losing. Wasting time. And then, so, but I have here. I like to have the scripture when it comes to my heart. But it's you don't have to open. Leo, I think you have the scripture. Show. Let's read Matthew 24. 37. It's beautiful. As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. So this story is very important because he's saying the way happened before, it's going to happen again. For in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, up to the day Noah entered the ark. And then they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. That is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. If someone comes to you and say, no, it's taking too long. I don't know if Jesus Christ is coming. I'm not sure. Maybe. No. So don't believe he is coming. And this is the confidence we have because the word says. And then the confidence we have because we can also see what's going on. But you know, problems, you know, the society is like this since the beginning. It's getting worse and worse. And that all the signs are moving and it's showing us that Jesus Christ is really close to come. So if someone asks you about your pastor, does he believe Jesus Christ is coming soon? Please tell that person, yes, he does believe. Of course I believe. The word is saying, and people, see, they didn't know about Jesus. They didn't know about the flood. They didn't understand. Unbelievers or ungodly people. But what about the 10 virgins, the 5-1? There's so many things you can learn from that story, that parable. But one thing is this. 5 were prepared for the coming of the bridegroom. And the other 5 wasn't. And he came at midnight. And I don't know if it was a revelation. Somebody said that, you know. But midnight hours with the darkness, darkest hour of the day. And we are living this darkest time. When I told you, church, a few months ago, so I said, I'm sorry, the world won't get better. That's what the Lord is saying. Yeah. Won't get better. You will get better. The one who gets saved will get better because has God's protection, salvation, and everything else is in that packet. But if you go, and of course, I like what the church, Christian church, are doing. So this is our statement of faith. But I believe they won't hold signs like this. I don't want. Don't teach our kids the gender, blah, blah, blah. No. We pray for them, we tell them what we believe, and that's it. If they want to ask for reason, if they want to come and talk to us, like Titus says, we have to be prepared to preach. Let's do it. But they need to know who we are. And we need to know who we are. And now, but the five virgins didn't bring the oil. When they went somewhere to buy the oil, when they went somewhere to prepare themselves. You know, I really connect that scripture with the religious ones. They know the word. They know God. They know Jesus. But they are forgetting and they are rejecting the Holy Spirit. The anointing, the power. We need that. We need that. We truly need that. But when we see Jesus is coming, when you say that, we have to preach the gospel. We have to take care of ourselves. We have to help our brothers and sisters that don't have the same revelation. There's so much work for us. Definitely believe that revival will take us out of our comfort zone as Christians. Maybe it's because of that most of people don't really want. I don't want to build the ark. Too much work. Too much work. Too much work. I just want to enjoy life. It's short. But the scripture is saying, you know, go. Let's work for the Lord. Because Noah was the only one could rejoice later. All of the population of the earth was dead. That's terrible. Let's keep reading 2 Peter. From verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything done in it will be laid bare. I think I jumped. Yeah. Can I come back a little bit? This is important. So verse 8. I was 3? Yes, I said 3. Thank you. Thank you. It's just to know if you are paying attention or not, okay? It's a test. It's a test. Oh, yeah, I was reading 3, verse 3. Yes. I was talking, where is the promise of his coming? Yes. You know, one thing, if you read Genesis 3, is when the serpent is talking with Eve and said, did God say that? Or he always trying to bring some doubt. Is it? It's really Jesus coming. Salvation. I know God. Always doing things like that. Just be careful. He's reminding us to pay attention. People are coming, scoffers. They are coming to mess it up Christians' lives. Bring doubt for us, for Christians. Bring doubt. That's very dangerous. And now I'll read 5. 5 is good. They do things like that. But they deliberately forget that long ago, by God's word, the heavens came into being and the earth was formed out of water and by water. By this water, also the world of what time was deluged and destroyed. By the same word, the present heavens and earth are reserved for fire, being kept for the day of the judgment and destruction of the ungodly. So he said, intentionally, they forgot that. Intentionally, the enemy is coming and trying to put doubts in our minds. And this kind of doubt, so that's why you have so many Christians not really committed with the word, with Jesus Christ, because they are not really believing that Jesus Christ is coming soon. Can you imagine? People, when you pray, do you want me to pray for you for salvation? And sometimes we, no thanks, not today. Because people don't believe. That's why we need the revival. Because when they see things, when like Jesus said, oh, whatever, tell him what you hear from me, what you see, tell him. When people see what's happening through us, when they hear what we are ministering under the power of the Holy Spirit, they will accept, they will come to Jesus. That's why it's so important. That's why it's so important, this move of the Spirit in us. Okay, I won't too long. Now I want to jump to verse 8. But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping this his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. This is the reason. This is the reason. Jesus Christ is not late. This is patience, long-suffering. The Lord so loves the world that he's waiting for us to move, the Church of Christ, to preach the gospel, to lay our hands, to bring the signs, wonders, and miracles for them to get saved. He's patient because he loves people. He loves his people. Sometimes we misunderstand. It's that Jesus loves his church and that's it. No, Jesus loves everyone. God loved the world. He loved us when we didn't believe in him, when we were doing wrong things. He always loved us. And he loves the world, the world. So we need to go there and do something for him. He's patient. He is patient. That's long-suffering. It's not late. It's long-suffering. Okay? This is the desire of God's heart. First Timothy talks about that. The desire of the God's heart is to see everyone saved. He's waiting for us, church. He's waiting for us. And you need that revival because we need that confidence. And to have the revival, we need to seek him, to push, to force, to, you know, put effort. Effort. Hallelujah. Then I was reading verse 10, and then he's coming, but the day of the Lord will come like a thief. So we don't know when it's going to happen. But the Holy Spirit is telling us that it's close. That's close. It's by the Spirit. It is by the Spirit. The Bible, if someone comes to you and say that that month the Lord will come, that day, that year, we don't know. It's by the Spirit. Can I jump to 14? So then, dear friends, since you are looking forward to this, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with him. Bear in mind that our Lord's patience means salvation. Just as our dear brother Paul also wrote you with the wisdom that God gave him. He writes the same way in all his letters, speaking in them of these matters. His letters contain some things that are hard to understand, which ignorant and unstable people distort, as they do the other scriptures, to their own destruction. So, you know something is really amazing here? Peter came before Paul. Peter was walking with Jesus Christ. Peter was learning directly from Jesus Christ. Peter was a strong man, personality and everything. And he says, he writes the same way in all his letters. This means to me that he was reading Paul's letters. Paul learned with the Lord. And of course was learning from the apostles as well. But the apostles, Peter, was learning through Paul. Why this is amazing? Because this, you know, it's the way the church works. I'm not the only one that know the Word of God, not only Bryce, not only Patricia, not only Michael. So we have something inside of us. I can add something into your life. You can add something to my life. So let's open our mouth. Maybe you try to say something and no, it's not according to the word. This is the time we learn. But let's study the word. I believe Peter was studying Paul's letters. He was mentioning that. He was using his letters. He said, it's a reminder. I was reading all his letters. And he's talking about the same thing. The same thing. That is really important. 17 says, therefore, dear friends, I'll finish 17, 18. Since we have been forewarned, be on your guard, so that you may not be carried away by the error of the lawless and fall from your secure position. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory, both now and forever. Amen. So he's telling us it is possible to fall from our secure position. Don't think that you know everything. Don't think that you never have a problem. But because you will, if you don't read the scripture, if you don't pray, if you don't seek the Lord, if you just stay all week connected with so many things, distracted. So, no. Not meditating in the word. Be careful. He's saying, be careful. You can fall from your secure position. We need to get involved with the word. We need to get involved in prayer. We need to get involved in the church because we have, like I said, people helping one another, encouraging one another. It is important, church. And one thing I want to say to finish this, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You know, I want to just read Titus 2:11 because you know grace. This is something is happening in the Church of Christ the last days. People using grace to give permission to sin. People using grace or making having misunderstanding about grace. I can live my life the way I want to live. I'm saved. I'm okay. He's telling us to be an example. He's telling us to seek Him and be holy. He's telling us to be like Him, look like Jesus Christ. So He doesn't want us to look like the world. What the world is doing, we don't do it. So he's telling us. So when you say, okay, I can do this. I'm saved. I have Jesus in my life. I'm still doing this, doing that. I'm still partying. I'm still celebrating. I agree with things that no, the world is doing. So be careful. It's a warning. He's telling us, be careful. We can fall from our secure position. You think you are standing and strong? Maybe you can fall. That's why filled with the Holy Spirit and refilled with the Holy Spirit every day. Every day. I'm not working as a dentist for 6 years. I don't study anything. I don't read anything. I'm not searching anything. I'm not interested in anything. I went to Brazil this year and I was talking with my friend who was working in the dental clinic. The same. He was talking, his wife is an orthodontist like me. She was talking about technology, the way she's doing now. I said, 6 years. And I said, I'm lost. I have no idea what you were talking about. Oh, no. The way you used to do like 6, 7, 10 years ago, we don't do it that anymore. It's done for me. And the word of God is the same. If you stay 5 years, 6 years, or 5 days, or 5 weeks, I don't know what's your relationship with God. But it's dangerous. We need to be reminded. Yesterday, I think you were talking a little bit about that. We need to, every day. We need to read. We need to study. When Bryce comes and says, I was studying this week to teach this morning. I said, come on, Bryce, you know that. But he's studying again. And this is what he's telling us. Be careful. And grace is for that. Grace is not to say, I'm okay, I can keep doing whatever I want to do. My pastor is good pastor, he doesn't care. I do care. Because the Lord cares about that. Titus 2:11 says, for the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation. We are saved by grace through faith to all people. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions. So the grace, I don't know what grace means. So just learn that for now. Grace can teach you to say no. I want to lie. Grace says, no, don't lie. You can. I want to steal. Okay. Grace teaches you not steal anymore. The word says, don't steal anymore. I want to do wrong things. Grace is teaching us to say no. Grace is teaching us to say no. So, it teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the present age. Nothing is too hard. Nothing is too difficult. Nothing is, no. Oh, in this world, I'm not sending my kids to school anymore because now they are teaching those things. I'm not sending my kids, though they are not dry because the traffic, you know, they are not doing this because they are not doing that because of that. No, you know, we can live in this world, in this age, protected by God, by His Word, by His grace, teaching us every day. While in this age, while we wait for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. That's the blessed hope. The appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us to redeem us from all weaknesses and to purify for Himself a people that are His very own, eager to do what is good, eager to do what's good. These, then, are the things you should teach, encourage, and rebuke with all authority. Do not let anyone despise you. So Titus 2 is so powerful. It's telling us again, Jesus Christ is coming, church. It's telling us the blessed hope, which is the coming of Jesus Christ. Telling us that the grace is helping us to say no, to not to walk like the world is walking right now. It's telling us that we have protection. It's telling us that we need to do something. We need, as a church of Christ, we need to do something to walk blameless, spotless, to live a holy life. This is what it's teaching us. It's telling us to be like Him. It's not an easy word to hear. Say, no, it's so funny. It's so nice when you hear the word that we can. No, but He is telling us. He's coming. Peter is bringing a reminder to the church of Christ. Oh, it's for the church of. No, it's for us today. There are so many people trying to mess it up what you believe. Just with words like that. Hey, Jesus, if you come up here, look, the kingdoms, I'll give to you all the power, all the authority, all the glory. Who was that? Was the enemy, was the devil trying to put doubt in Jesus Christ's mind. The same way he did with Eve. Eve didn't say, it's written. She said, actually said, no, he said, no, I can eat from the tree, but not the one he told me. And then he jumped, he changed. No, actually you won't die. Because he understood, okay, Eve knows that she can eat from every tree, but not from that one. And he changed his way to approach her and said, you know, yeah, okay, you're good. But you won't die. You think you're going to die? You think you're going to die? You think you'll have problems if you don't follow his word, his commands? You think? You think Jesus Christ will come? You think a revival is really a necessity for the Church of Christ? Do you really believe that? So this little do you believe? When people come to me, I don't know. No, there's no I don't know. There's no maybe, church. Like 40 minutes talk is just to say that there's no maybe, I don't know. No, Jesus Christ is coming and He wants us to live a holy life. He wants us to be different. He wants us to be like Him. He wants us to praise and worship Him. He wants Him to give all the glory. He wants us to preach the gospel. He wants us to lay our hands and to people get healed. He wants us to get involved with the presence of the Holy Spirit. He wants to manifest His glory here in this place, in our lives. There's no, there's no maybe. Maybe this is the name. I'll change the name of my message. There's no maybe anymore. It's hard. It's difficult for us. It's good when you go to the church, you have a wonderful worship, celebration, concert, and we go home, woohoo, and fellowship with friends, not with the Lord. No, this church is to fellowship with Him. Put some effort, He's saying, put some effort. But when say that, we don't like, because, you know, I want my comfort zone. But He's telling us, it's going to be great, church. It's going to be great. Put some effort, spend time with me, because there's nothing better than enjoy my presence. There's nothing better than the glory of the Lord. There's nothing better than to have the Holy Spirit leading us, in our job, in our marriages, in our church, and everywhere. There's nothing better. He wants us, okay? He wants us. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. I'll finish. It's gone. Can you please stand on your feet? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's not a tough word. It's a wonderful word to encourage us to keep seeking Him, to understand why it's so important. Oh, there's so many things to say. Why is important? Revival is important. But one thing is this, is to live His life. Is to live His life. Even in this earth, we can live His life. We can enjoy His life. We can enjoy His presence. We can do things that we all much more than we can think and imagine. It's time for us. When you see the first miracle happening through your life, you won't stop praying and laying your hands. You won't stop. When you see the first person getting saved, when you open your mouth and say, Jesus loves you, then you will never stop doing that. Because this is what He wants. We have the nature of God inside of us. Amen. Amen? Amen? Hallelujah. Can we pray? Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Lord Jesus, I thank you so much, Lord, for your presence, for your power, for your joy in us. Thank you for this reminder this morning, Lord. It's a good reminder for us to understand and to receive from you, Lord, what you want to tell us, that you are coming back. We don't have any doubt that you are coming back, Lord. We have no doubt that you're going to move in this last time, in these last days, through us. And we are here, Lord. We are here with open arms to receive from you, Lord. We want to see people receiving deliverance. We want to see people getting saved, healed. We want to see people changing their lives. We want to see people receiving salvation, Lord. Use us, Lord. Use us, not only as a word that everybody says. This word has to come from our hearts, Lord. And I believe you are building that. You are building that in this church. You are building that in our lives. Not only to say words from our lips and our hearts is far away from you, Lord. But what we want, Lord, is to speak things from our heart to you, Lord. And which is true, Lord. We want to be touched by you. We want to follow you. We want to serve you, Lord. We want to do what you called us to do. We want to open your mouth. We are not ashamed of the gospel because it's power of salvation. It's power for salvation. Thank you, Lord, for power for salvation. Thank you, Lord, for your mighty hand coming upon our lives. Thank you, Lord, for your touch in our hearts to encourage us to keep seeking you, to put some effort, Lord, to know you better and build that wonderful relationship with you, Lord. This is what we want. This is what we want, Lord. Hallelujah. This is a wonderful place to be.